Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I have a special episode, as I do every time, but this one is going to be very interesting. I have Liz Larson. Liz Larson is the co-creator of the Cogno Movement System. Now, what is Cogno Movement? Cogno Movement is a cognitive movement exercise system. And I found this pretty interesting. It's designed for quick and powerful change of chronic problems and patterns. This system is useful for a wide range of problems that people experience daily, including cravings, habits, cycling through patterns, stress, relationship issues, low energy and moods, as well as many issues that we are not allowed to publicize. This system creates powerful, positive incomes for its users, more energy, boosted creativity, increased focus and ability to concentrate, enhances athletic ability, promotes better overall moods. Liz has discussed energy and consciousness in a variety of different places. And you can find a lot of her stuff at cognomovement.com. And we'll talk about a little bit more here. So welcome to the Reality Revolution, Liz.
Thanks so much. I am so excited to be here. Your channel is one of my favorites. I have to tell everybody that in the morning when I put my face on, that means putting on my makeup, mm-hmm. I often will listen to Reality Revolution.
Well, I'm truly and genuinely honored by that. Thank you so much. It means a lot. So let's get your origin story. What got you into this and how did you get to develop the Cogno Movement System? What was your inspiration?
Gosh, I mean, there's so many things. First of all, I was born one of those people who knew stuff. People would just ask me the strangest questions as a little kid, like advice. And somehow I always knew the answer. I could never figure that out. But as I got older, I knew I didn't really want to pursue counseling because I just didn't relate to having people relive their problem again and again and again. So I didn't go that direction. I ran car dealerships. I was a serial entrepreneur, all the while studying how to create real change in people. So in my car dealerships, I would work with my salespeople. This was a very high level car dealership. No ugly sales there. We simply helped people. That was our motto. That's it. Weird for a car dealership, I know. But I would help my salesmen clear their blocks, their emotional blocks to their sales process, things like follow-up. Later on, my parents started to have Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. So I dove head deep into learning about neurology. At the same time, I'd entered a two-year program for neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, based in brain remapping. So I was doing that all at the same time, learning how to create change between the body and the brain. I know more about neurology than I have any business knowing. For that reason, I was looking for a way to create change for my parents. In 2016, I ran into Bill McKenna. We started working together, promoting some events having to do with consciousness and change. And Bill had this funny idea. And he asked me about it. And I said, yeah, I know what that is. That's a brain remap. But I thought it was a little weird. It included this funny little ball that originally was sewn with just some fabric and printable fabric, if anybody knows what that is. But it was helping people create change, harmonizing the left and right side of the brain while focusing on sensation. So eventually, you know, we wanted to start teaching people. So I had to bring it into my practice. By that time, I was working remapping brains with NLP. Pretty good success, but it took a long time and it didn't always stick. So I brought it into my practice and I thought, dang, this takes a long time too. So I started adding some things that I knew about neurology to it and got it down to where we could create change in 45 seconds.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of a convoluted story, but the background is, you know, I have a mind for putting disparate ideas together and creating something out of that, you know, picking from here and here and here and putting it all together mm-hmm. with really that intuitive kind of born knowing sensibility.
So this is fascinating. I had, you know, to experience my own dad going through Parkinson's and dementia. So this is related to movement. You're integrating the NLP model, but you're relating it to movement. I'm fascinated by hemispheres and the interaction between the hemispheres. It's something that's ignored a lot.
Yeah.
As you may have noticed, some of my meditations, I try to use both channels because sometimes you're communicating to two different persons when you communicate. So how have you integrated this? Talk to me. Do you have an exercise that I can do that can take some of what you've learned that I can
Yeah.
apply?
Here's a really simple one that anyone can do. So, as it turns out, your own brain has a lot of different opinions about things, depending on your eye position. So, let's say that you have something coming up and you're worried about it, or it's a problem. You know, that thing that's a little roadblock ahead of you, and it has its own little story that goes with it. And when you think about it, you have a particular feeling in your body, a sensation. Now, I'm not talking about emotion. I'm talking about, you know, I think about that bill coming up and my big thumb hurts, or I get a little gas bubble over my heart, or my low back starts aching. I'm literally talking about sensation. Where does your body have an opinion about this upcoming thing? So you find that sensation in your body, you notice. And then the first thing you do is put your eyes in the down position, like looking down, like you're looking through your own shirt, where you're literally connected. Your brain's now connected through your eyes to your physical. Think about if you want to cry. You know, if you see somebody crying, their eyes are usually down. Nobody cries with their eyes straight up. It disconnects you from your emotion. So you let your eyes be down and you kind of just swing them back and forth, kind of left to right, just gently, not like EMDR, just a gentle left and right. So we're shifting hemispheres of the brain, and tell the story, tell it out loud. But the most important thing is feel it. Feel that if it's that big thumb or the heart. So you might swing your eyes left and right and say, dang, you know, that thing that's coming up, it's really bugging me. You know, it's an impossible one. I don't know how to fix it. Tell it left and right till the story's done. Next, move your eyes hard right. So like you're trying to look at your own ear. And then from your eyebrow to your chin, you kind of move your eyes up and down and tell the story again. Now, from the right, we're telling it from our left hemisphere. Then, when you're done telling it, move your eyes hard left and then move them from your chin to your eyebrow. It's a little uncomfortable moving your eyes that far. We're not usually in that periphery. Tell it again. Now you're telling the story with your right brain. And then lastly, you're going to move your chin down and your eyes straight up, left and right over your head, and tell it again. If you recorded yourself, you would tell four different stories because every area of your brain has a different opinion and it looks at it from a different side. In the end, as you're holding on to that sensation in your body and doing the exercise, it'll kind of collapse, it'll change, or you'll come up with a brand new way to handle that thing. So that one's one of the most simple ones you can do.
So I find it fascinating because I find eye movements, the what people don't realize, it's like the joystick for consciousness. You can move around using your eyes to access. So what we understand from NLP is that there's the eidetic, there's you can use the eye movement to access a version that's created that is not a memory or anything that's ever happened in the past. And you can use the eye movement to also access a memory. And when you're going down, it's a kinesthetic. So that you're right. So when we go down, we're accessing kinesthetic. And by shifting back and forth, we're moving from a memory of a feeling to creating a new feeling, right? So do you create the opposite of it, or you're just releasing it when you do that?
All of the above and sort of none of the above. What
Right.
cognitive movement in its entirety really does is changes or collapses or rewrites the automatic response. So if you have an issue, all of a sudden your body goes into an automatic feeling about that thing because it's connected to 29 other things in your life
Right.
that your body is running a threat assessment on. Fight or flight is enacted to a certain extent. So what we're using the eyes to do is not to create or uncreate, but to let the nervous system see all the perspectives. The automated response is just one, and you can't help it. It just happens. It's where your body wants you to notice this is a problem and you need to look out. But we're looking for a different part of the brain that has a different perspective on this to come into the mix and tell the nervous system, you know what? That's not a threat. In fact, when we get in the eyes up position, it's a really good idea. Here's the way to handle that thing. Mm-hmm. So we're using eye movement, the visual acuity system from NLP. We've taken that and put it on steroids. Because now what we're doing is we're using, well, we use a ball for focus, but we're using the different areas of the visual visual range, I guess you want to put it, to find a place cell in the brain that holds a specific memory. You can actually find the place that holds the true, clear, actual memory. But you can also move that to another place that right. might actually be way, way more resourceful and have a way to handle that, that's really useful, but also tells the nervous system to stop the fight or flight. So in that way, you can change the automated response.
Right.
You're no longer responding with stress or worry. You're responding with woohoo.
Right. Well, you're breaking the pattern, and it makes so yeah. much sense to me. When if you go back to the very beginning of my channel, I have a meditation on awakening the pineal gland, the third eye.
Yeah.
And I had been taught a technique that was using eye movements. And I was wondering if maybe you would experience this. You use a pattern of eye movements. So I would look up to the, I would look up and to my left and then down into the, to the left and then down into the right and up into the right, then over directly to the left, then over directly to the right. Then directly up. And when I did this, I would get a flow of energy that would sort of break the patterns up, and I could feel an electricity that sort of focused at a single point. Have you experienced or had any of your clients experience anything beyond just the breaking of patterns where you have energy centers and levels of consciousness change from the simple eye movements?
Oh my gosh, this is the reason I wanted to talk to you. What we've yeah. discovered is that it changes the field that your body's emanating. Yes. So your field of potential changes immediately. So it turns into, you know, there's a very, very practical way to use cognitive movement that changes the body and the brain, you know, eliminates trauma and stress. But the side effect of it is changing of full timelines, changing mm-hmm. of what's in your field and manifesting. So one of the first times I was early on working with a client who came in, who's actually a doctor. She had some stress with her husband, wanted to change it. And, you know, all kinds of things come up because everything's in one pattern. Money's going to be in one pattern. Nervous system is going to recognize relationships, but they're all going to kind of lump into one thing,
mm-hmm.
one pattern. So when we release one, it releases a lot of stuff. So it'll go through different aspects of life. So that happened in this session. And mom came up during the session, and husband and money and career and past. The person left the office. And as they entered their house, the phone was ringing. She picks up the phone and it's her mom 3,000 miles away. A person she'd had a lifelong problem with, just lifelong.
Yeah.
She'd done counseling. She'd done all the things. The person, her mom on the other end of the phone said to you, "Hey, you know, I just realized that over your lifetime, I've probably done some things that really affected you badly. And I want you to know I'm sorry."
Wow.
And the person said they stood there with their mouth open and had no idea what to say because never in their lifetime had they expected this phone call. After that, we have had this happen thousands of times. During a session, a person will literally get the phone call or the email or text during the session. Immediately when the wave collapses, the neurological pattern in the body from brain to body, body to brain, back and forth, it creates like a Tesla coil field, you know?
Right.
When that happens, it collapses the pattern in the field as well.
Amazing.
It is. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So have you integrated anything beyond eye movement with this system? Does it involve anything else?
Yeah. So there's a lot of movement involved.
Right. So is this related like to Tai Chi or, you know, because I find when I use Qigong and Tai Chi exercises in relation to this stuff, there's a connection. So I was wondering if you had found any sort of connection. Talk to me more about the movement aspect.
So there's an aspect of what we do that we call cleanups, where we actually borrow some from Qigong. Mm-hmm. Because Qigong is constantly creating an infinity or a figure eight in the field, and it's constantly doing bilateral movement cross body. So Cogna movement uses cross body. We're always mm-hmm. crossing the center line of the body. We use the full body low to high. We move the system through the from kinesthetic to auditory to visual, from feeling or feeling state to neutrality. So mm-hmm. you can move something right into neutrality in this whole zone right here to ideas and inspiration. We do a lot of movement on the floor, like figure eights, that kind of thing. We do a lot of working with the ears. So the eyes and the brain and the spinal cord are one unit. And the ear is the representation in acupuncture of the spinal cord. It's upside down. So we will use eye movement in conjunction with moving energy in the spinal cord. So it's there's probably about 100 things that go into
right
what we do. The most basic is the left, right, up the body, and that we call what we call an infinity, where we're moving the eyes and stretching and creating a bigger peripheral vision for a person. That's the most basic. Mm-hmm. But then there's lots and lots of other movement that goes with it, including things like Qigong.
So part of your system is to increase energy, and you're not using any sort of diet or water. It's simply essentially using movement to awaken energy centers. Talk to me about how this system brings up energy.
Okay. So I think this is one of the most exciting things, and it even bleeds over into manifesting. So a pattern that runs in the body, a neurological fight or flight response that goes between sensation and thought, round and round, it will cost the body a lot of energy to run the bigger it is. The more mm-hmm. issues, the more memories, the more injuries that neurological pattern is handling for you, trying to keep safe, the more energy it'll draw down. It can be like having everybody in your neighborhood plugged into your house with their electrical cords. Right. And that's not going to work so well. So the more you're in fight or flight, the less energy can go to healing. We know when there's a lion on our butt, we're not healing, we're running. So big neurological patterns will be exactly like that. You also aren't thinking clearly. No energy for the frontal lobes, right? Your muscles are not rebuilding. You're really not doing much but running that neurological pattern. The body's trying to keep you safe. When you collapse it, immediately you get that energy back. Mm-hmm. So a body will flush with heat sometimes. We use the neurological cues that you learn in NLP to see when the neurology changes. The face will actually expand. You look younger.
Yeah.
The eyes will actually open more. The body relaxes. But we use a BioWell machine. Dr. Karatikoff created a BioWell machine. I don't know if you're familiar with this. But we use it to measure before and after. Mm-hmm. And what we found is that a voltage jump can be 25% of a person's overall voltage. They get that gain back right after a session because the energy is now not trying to be running a neurological pattern to keep you safe, but it now gets to heal. You get to think. And what happens is the whole field expands because of it.
Can we become patternless? Can we break down all the patterns, or is that not possible? We still need these patterns. They're part of our construct and our ability to survive, right? But can we get rid of most of them?
Yeah. We actually run this really cool seminar where we use the Hawkins scale, David Hawkins. Mm-hmm. And we start with shame. And we clear the overall pattern of shame throughout a life, and then fear, and then guilt, and then all the way up through enlightenment. What happens is not what you think. You think there might be like lightning and, you know, rainbows. What actually happens is this super calm comes over, because your body's used to keeping you really alert all the time at all of these problems. And now all of a sudden there aren't any. But what happens to the human is everything starts to change. Psychic ability opens up. People find they're blessing everyone in the airport, you know? Peace and calm comes over the body, where you really just see life differently. There's not a threat around every corner. You're kind of like, hey, it's okay. Everything's all right. There's a little bit of a high in the beginning because it just feels so light. But pretty soon, it becomes the new normal. And your life just works better. Relationships change right away. Lots of times money changes right away. People's housing situations change right away. It's really an amazing thing.
It's almost like these patterns are blocking energy that we would naturally. It's not where we're increasing energy. The energy's already there. We're just blocking the energy, right?
Well, it's being utilized for something else.
Right.
That's what it is. So it's not like the energy comes into the body or goes out of the body. A lot of people ask me that. Doesn't this big trauma need to process and leave my body? The answer is no, because the body is really just doing its best to handle that thing. And the original trauma is not what you thought it was in the first place. Every time it replays, it takes into everything, account everything around you. The atmosphere, if your underwear are too tight, you know, do you have some indigestion? Did someone just stick their tongue out at you? All of those get wrapped in to our issues. So basically, when we shut that pattern off and tell the nervous system, hey, not a threat anymore, the body just basically recycles the energy, puts it back in, and now you're in a thriving state, where before you were diminished because the body was running that pattern at such volume that it was bringing down your voltage.
You know, a lot of this reminds me, I don't know if you've heard of Dr. John Lilly back in the 60s.
No.
He studied dolphins and LSD. He was like with Timothy Leary. He wrote a book on metaprogramming the biocomputer. And really a lot of what you're saying, it's like we're an advanced computer system that has these meta programs. So it's almost like we need to learn what our programs that are running and then reprogram the energy system for us to be functioning efficiently, you know, in this energy body, right?
Yeah, it's actually a perfect way to describe it. I describe it that way all the time. It's like, you know, when your computer has a virus or a program that's way too big and you're trying to make it do anything, you get that loading signal. Mm-hmm. That's what our bodies are like too. Because the computer is running all of its energy to try to handle this thing that's not really built for.
Right.
So we just simply hit the delete button on that program in our bodies too. It's really that fast and that simple. The cool thing about it is the movement that we use is so complete. I mean, we're hitting the body with so many different ways to let go of that pattern that it's very complete and it's permanent. In fact, yeah, I know you're like, what?
Wow.
So the fact is that we do it with cravings all the time. It's one of the most fun sets. Mm-hmm. So it's happened to me many, many times, this craving set thing. And at the end of the session, the thing that you just couldn't live without, you actually think is like either gross or just neutral. And from that point on, your body just doesn't think about it anymore. You just have no interest whatsoever. Just nothing.
I keep on thinking of tapping when you're describing this. Have you ever combined EFT or any exercises? Because you're changing the energy system, the way the energy runs in the body. So you're going internally. Have you ever integrated anything like that?
Yeah, pretty much everybody who uses cognitive movement also has gone through tapping as well. Sometimes a person will throw it in if they have it.
Right.
We're always trying to surprise the nervous system. The nervous system can really block you if it sees you coming, because it believes these are really important programs that keep you safe. So sometimes a person will throw in tapping. And the idea is not dissimilar. But what we're doing is quite a bit more complete.
Right. It's completely fascinating. So as you've gone about this and seen people gain energy, I'm sure that you've had some revelations about consciousness. This has maybe changed. Since you've started doing this, have you noticed a general change in the level of consciousness, the way that people interact and awaken through these systems?
Yeah, I mean, we see it all the time. You'll see a person come in who everything's about their problems. And you kind of see the way their life is working. Things just aren't working well. Fighting with a spouse, trouble with kids. And as they clear their issues and their energy levels up, their consciousness goes right along with it. So we'll see a person who gets, 30% energy back, a voltage. And their life equals that. It's like 30% better. They go home and all of a sudden their spouse is like very attractive to them and nice. And when they left, that was a terrible person, causing all kinds of trouble. So we see as the voltage moves, as people get their energy back, there is an equal amount of consciousness, meaning they're able to see things from new perspectives. They're not in a 3D place of blame, guilt, shame, but they move into neutrality. Like, okay, it's okay for that person to live on the planet and be how they are. I don't have to change them. It's all right. Right. Or they'll move into acceptance. Like, I accept them how they are. That's fine. And I'm even going to accept my past for what it was, and then when you see a person move into love or above, that's that change, that 500 level, when they've cleared enough out that they're really in a place where it is okay to experience love for the planet, for themselves. That's a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for other people around them. And you see their life change. At that point, people are manifesting very, very quickly. We have so many stories about that. They're not having conflict. Their life seems to kind of smooth out. So we see the life and the along with the consciousness level equal each other, if that makes sense, along with the energy that they have back in their bodies.
I always like to ask when I'm interviewing someone, especially like you, have you noticed a change, maybe in the last 5 years, in the general level of consciousness, the way that people are interacting with your programs compared to before? Is there a discernible change in consciousness and the way that people react to these programs, if you understand what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah, I know. I really understand. And I'm constantly saying this. I think the work that we're doing today and the things that we're able to change in so many areas of life would not have been available 10 years ago. And I think the people that are coming to this work, I don't think people would have understood it. So I think the availability, what's available in the world right now for consciousness level, is going up and up and up exponentially. I think all the time I'm saying to my business partner, Bill, the consciousness level on the planet, what's available, not to everybody. You really have to be clear enough. You have to be letting go of those traumas and letting that be out of your life or having it deleted. But I do think the consciousness level is getting bigger and bigger, higher and higher constantly.
So if you're a futurist, based on the trend that you see with your clients, what is happening in our future?
Well, I mean, that's a super big question. But I think that we're going to get to a point where there's enough of us, people who are listening to your channel and actually doing the work, people who are doing our work, people who are doing tapping, EMDR, people who are really looking for a real change, not willing to accept what they've had in the past, I think we're going to get to that point where it tips the scales. And I really think that we're going to be moving into, at least for a group of us, a higher consciousness level.
Right. Like an entirely new earth that's happening slowly and carefully all around us, right?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that idea. And I think this is the kind of change, because what we see is that people are doing that are doing this kind of work with us and on their own, because people can do it by themselves. They're creating a new life for themselves. They're creating a whole new world in their own lives. You see things so differently that you're not fighting against everything that has to change externally. You're literally seeing it change internally. Instead of fighting about politics, you're thinking, oh, who's in my vicinity that I can serve right now, today? You know, instead of getting online arguing with somebody about, you know, the latest thing, you're out there actually helping someone else create change and excited about doing that. I think that's what changes the world.
I think you're absolutely right. It's completely fascinating to me. So taking what you've learned, tell me a little bit more about your, because you've obviously applied this to your own life, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about your general daily ritual and, you know, how you go about your day.
So this is kind of funny. We all use it differently, but I love ideas and inspiration. You know, the hierarchy of needs, you know, hierarchy of values. I find that my highest value is ideas and inspiration above anything. That's, I'll take it, you know? So what I do every morning is I get up and I'll use my CognoBall for 5 minutes, because I want that big brain ideas. I want my nervous system to be calm, but I want to be able to think at my highest level, be excited about what I learn. So after a Cogno session, if I listen to Neville Goddard, I'm going to get the highest that he intended out of that if I'm in my ideas and inspiration brain. So I'll use the system. It's left and right, up the body. We're calling out color and symbol, getting the left and the right brain really, really engaged. We're activating the auditory, the visual, the kinesthetic. I'm loosening up my spine. I'm moving in information up and down my spine. And I end at that high, the above the head, eyes up position. And I like to spend time there, because that's that opening ideas and inspiration. So I'm fine when I'm done with that. You know, I can listen to these things, get the highest level, and then get to work and really be in a place where I can be inspired and inspire in what the next client, in what I have to write, in the content that I'm putting out. So that's what my morning ritual really looks like. I really love breath work as well. That's a big thing. I love Qigong. I'm using that on a regular basis. But mainly because I have this work and it incorporates so many things. Throughout the day, if something comes up that is bothering me, you know, we have a regular life like everybody else. I get in and I do my work with my ball, because I want to make sure, am I looking at this from all the perspectives? Or am I stuck in my own neurological trap? Do I have a pattern running that's telling me this is a threat when maybe it's not? So I'll get in and I'll do my work. I'll collapse whatever patterns are running and get myself, you know, using my whole brain, whole system. It's not just the brain, it's the system. And then I move forward from there. So that's really what it looks like.
Now can you use the system to create new patterns, to add patterns in instead of just removing them?
Yeah, we do it for athletes all the time. That is what the athletic performance is about. Mm-hmm. So let's say an athlete needs their body to do a certain thing, you know, maybe a pitcher, that's somebody I work with all the time. And they need their arm to move a certain way that it doesn't want to move. It's a very unnatural movement, pitching. So we can actually map into the body with this system the way that we need the muscles and the nerves and the tendons to move. And we can map it in about 2 or 3 minutes. And then that is permanent. So an athlete doesn't have to teach their body how to do the new move through repetition, which the brain really doesn't like repetition. It gets bored. We just tell the nervous system, here's how you do that thing. And we're creating amazing, amazing results with that. We do it with other people who have had injuries as well to create new neurological pathways that some of those things we're not really allowed to talk about publicly because we're not doctors. But some of the things that can be created by just knowing how the nervous system works become very, very simple and possible. I think that's one of the biggest thing you ask me what I do every day. I think I probably say 100 times a day, what else is possible here? What else can we create now that wasn't possible on the planet a minute ago?
While you were talking, it flashed in my mind that there's a bridge between what you're learning and teaching. There's a point where technology will become a part of it, where you'll start to use technology to instantly install patterns, maybe for an astronaut that needs to, you know, utilize a certain technique, or maybe for an athlete or some physical motion that has to, even in the military, right? This might become a technology that you can use to install patterns very, very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's really possible. What we're doing now is we're creating stimulation for the body. So like for an athlete or maybe a stroke patient or somebody who has a brain injury, and we can create stimulation in the part of the body that we want to reconnect with the brain or work differently. Mm-hmm. We're creating an external stimulation and moving the eyes in a way to make it sort for a part of the brain that'll go ahead and take that over. So if you could find a technology that can do that very, very quickly, I don't see why that wouldn't be something that's totally possible.
Like follow the light and your eyes will force it to move, right? Something like that.
Yeah, know. Could be. Yeah.
Go ahead.
We just find that the nervous system really does know what to do. If you know how to coax it to make that change, the body is pretty amazing. And I think it's one of those things you asked about consciousness. This is my personal belief, and Bill may say something else, but we're always looking to get out of our bodies, you know, astral project, higher self, higher consciousness. We do a lot of that as well. But I really believe that the route to change is through the body, not outside of it, that we can create a way for our body to emanate the signal, the clear signal for what we want to manifest, to make automatic changes for health, for consciousness, for awareness, for wellness. I really think that the body has an amazing wisdom that we haven't really even tapped into yet.
Well, the one with stuff like that you're doing, the one is that science is so far behind in catching up and has so many sort of biases against it. Have you been able to create empirical data, body scans, brain scans, as you use these techniques to sort of verify some of what you're starting to create in your clients?
Yeah, we took the system, and the system is us in a ball and a client, to SciTech Labs in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And we had the brain mapped before and after a session to see what it really looks like, what's really happening in the nervous system. And right now that's kind of the way in to the nervous system. So what we found is that the brain's just one end of, you know, the pattern in the nervous system, was making a lot of, using a lot of energy to try to make connections. There was no clear pathway. It was thousands and thousands of movements within the brain to try to do simple tasks on a computer. So that's what they do with the MEG, is they have you do a person do simple tasks. What we found is after the session that not only did the person's ability to do the tasks increase, but the speed was 30% faster. So what it would look like in the scan is that their IQ went up exponentially, and their stress level went way down exponentially. So after the session, what the brain looks like is it's firing these really clear signals back and forth to make a decision, to make the body, you know, choose whatever it is on the screen that needs to be chosen. And that translates into those same signals in the body, a clear signal to make this happen, a clear signal to make that happen. So that's the most scientific data that we have. We use the BioWell system all the time. And several of our practitioners are now doing thesis studies on it, doctoral studies. So we hope to have more. The science that backs it is a lot of things that have already been done, like EMDR, tapping, those sorts of things back what we're doing. We are just have expanded a lot on that model.
This is amazing and so exciting. I'm sure many people that are watching right now are also excited because we all kind of intuitively know the feeling is the secret. The nervous system is the secret. And I talk all the time about the subconscious, but the subconscious is directly linked to the nervous system. How much do you think the heart is involved in this process, even though you're using the eyes, which are a part of the, you know, you're close to your mind, the heart seems to be involved as well. Have you noticed that or any effects with the heart?
Yeah, well, so pulse rate changes right away. So if we're talking about the physical heart, blood pressure changes immediately, pulse changes, everything calms down as the body down-regulates out of fight or flight. That happens. But it's that same conversation about consciousness. The heart seems to open up and expand. The field around the heart seems to open up and expand. As we clear neurological patterns, a pattern between the brain and the body about a subject, it's really a lot of times a big judgment. You know, I can't talk to you, Brian, because you have a different opinion than me. And that opinion might hurt me in some way. In fact, it might kill me. So my heart's going to be closed. I'm going to be mired in judgment. The minute that's collapsed, and I literally through my brain see you for who you really are for the first time. It's the most amazing thing. The heart expands and the whole field expands. Your whole energy is completely changed. Not just the physical, because we can measure that. Not just the energy that's being used in your brain, because we can measure that. But the energy physically around the body. And what's funny is you can actually feel the presence of or the lack of a neurological pattern right here in the field around you. There's an echo. I mean, it has mass. So because we have that field, HeartMath Institute mapped it out 6 to 8 feet around us or bigger if you're a psychopath or a movie star. When we come into each contact with each other, 16 feet away, 12 feet away, we're interacting with each other's neurological patterns. So if I come home and I got a chip on my shoulder, you got to bet my husband's going to feel it the minute I walk in the room. My energy changes the culture of my house. My dog's going to feel it, right? If that pattern is then collapsed, no judgment, no fear. Well, that's another thing that gets spewed into the field is cortisol that we can feel of each other. But when that's collapsed, I've now affected my husband's field too, my dog's field. The literal energy of my house, the vibration of my house is changed when I change my field. So the expansion of the heart is just a natural part of that. And it's one of those things that sends a strongness, a signal and field. If it isn't holding on to judgment, if it isn't holding on a perspective of needing to fight, flee, hide, get bigger than, get smaller than, if it isn't doing that, the only thing it can do is expand and feel love and feel joy and feel excitement.
It's amazingly exciting. There's so much potential and possibility with this. So everybody can go to cognomovement.com. You even have a 1 hour video on levels of awareness. I think you said it was cognomovement.com/ Gaia, and you also have some ebooks on there if they go to your website. If I want to do this and add these programs, that is that the best place for me to go?
Yeah, so cognomovement.com, you can explore everything. You can see, we're really transparent about the science and everything that's there. You can see that brain scan if you want to see it. Cognomovement.com has our two ebooks, Suffering is Optional, which really breaks down this idea of neurological pattern being the problem and how to get rid of it. And then the tiny book of Big Manifesting, we talk about literally how to work in your own field to create manifesting, to delete things that are a block and bring things in. That's a fun one. We give you the whole thing. And then cognomovement.com/Gaia, G-A-I-A, if you don't know how to spell it, it's a full lecture from my partner, Bill McKenna, on that level of awareness that answers that question, what happens when your energy changes? What happens to your consciousness? And what happens to your life? And then, of course, you know, our programs are there. We have basic training, which gives you your Cogno Ball and also shows you the basic steps. So you can do it for yourself. You can do it for your family. We have programs that you do it along with us so you can learn how to do it until it's you can do it on your own. And then we also have a program for manifesting. So that's there as well.
Amazing. I'm so excited to delve into this. And I know a lot of people that are watching are going to be excited too, because it makes sense. It's intuitively makes sense. I teach that we are a field, and I know that I can change my field, not externally, but internally through my nervous system. And this is a great starting point to do that. So it's been a real pleasure. Thank you, Liz. Is there anything else that we need to know?
No, you know, the last thing I want to say is you said the consciousness, your subconscious is related to the nervous system. I just want to say in our vernacular, it is the nervous system.
It is.
And because of that, it's not this big, scary thing that you have to try to change. If you know how to work with your nervous system, you can change it anytime you want. You don't have to hope for a better past anymore. You just simply change the way your body sees that past. You don't have to struggle for a better future anymore. You simply change the way your energy is set up that creates that future. So I just think it's a really, really exciting time on the planet.
Yeah, it is. You know, I meet people in my life outside of my channel that are stuck in habits and rituals and stuck in these programs. And, you know, I, as you can tell with my channel, I'll offer an 8-hour sleep program or do hypnosis. I'll try to think of anything I can. And if I could just figure a simple system to break those patterns.
Yeah.
And that is what is so exciting about this, because we have a way, because a lot of times it just seems hard. Like when we have a pattern that's built naturally, we think, oh, this is over a whole lifetime. So it's going to take us a whole lifetime to break this pattern. Then that's not true. Yeah. It's just like getting on your computer and adding a new program.
It's exactly like that. And it can be really, really fast. You just have to know how your nervous system works and how to get it to change. We've met people who day after day, they come in and they've had this one problem their whole life. Like I had a woman who said, she was the daughter of she was an adult child of alcoholics. And within 5 minutes, that's how she would present herself. So her life was built around one problem. I actually tell the story in the book where actually she was a really incredible human. Like incredible. She was actually like a First Nations princess. You know, her family, she came from a long line of chiefs. She was well-loved in her church. People admired her. She was definitely a human of service to others, not service to self. I mean, always service to others. She was just lovely. But how she presented herself as an adult child of an alcoholic, it was a pattern that kept her stuck in her life that simply needed to be collapsed. Yeah, maybe it was true. Maybe it wasn't true. But it was holding her back. And I think about her now. I knew her in when I was young. I think about her now and think, man, if I could only change that pattern for her, what could she be capable of? If she's doing such amazing things already, who could she be? Who is she really without that massive amount of energy donated to that old idea. And I think each of us has such a massive potential of who we can become without those old stories. But psychology has told us those old stories are important and that we need to carry them around with us. I think it's like having a backpack that you put a huge rock in every day and carry it with you.
Yeah. I'd really love to experiment with Neville Goddard's revision, using these techniques, creating alternate memories.
Yeah.
Putting a different program into it. If, you know, you, maybe you don't even need to do that. It's just changing the program.
You actually don't. What happens is that when you move the ball and you actually are seeing, you're seeing with different aspects of your brain, different place cells in the brain. What will happen in it happen is your body will see what actually happened in that moment. It's never what you think it is.
Right.
It'll see from a 360 degree perspective, and it'll help you see your problem from today, because wherever in time that problem happened is where that program runs. So if it runs from 1 year old, your body's using a 1 year old brain to try to solve the problem.
Yeah.
If it's two or three, like that's like dealing with a terrorist, you know, there's no real logic there. So you're stuck in time and place. And when we move the idea around the nervous system, you see the truth of that situation. So it changes immediately. You also see the truth of the future without it. Your body knows it doesn't need it anymore. Most of the time, people will forget they ever had the problem. I was working with a woman at a seminar. She kept telling me, my mom's the devil. My mom's the devil. Like, she wants to kill me. She wants to kill me. It's so bad. It's so bad. In about 5 minutes, the pattern collapsed. And we see it on the nervous system. We see the system change. So I said, okay. When we first started talking, you said, your mom's the devil. She's so bad. And she looked at me with the most blank look ever. And I just looked back, waited for it to come to her. And I raised my eyebrows. And she gasped. She said, oh my God, I did say that, didn't I? I said, well, yeah. She said, you know what the truth of it is? My mom really loves me. She really loves me. She said, I've been the one who's been in full resistance to her most of my life.
Wow.
So you could rewrite it in your past, but most of the time, the body, the consciousness, your subconscious, your nervous system doesn't give a crap about it anymore.
It's not important.
No. What happens is the body has a feeling, a sensation that happens when the pattern starts to run. And it's not usually a good one. And the brain makes up what to think about that feeling. So the brain says, wait a minute. Ooh, that didn't feel good. Bad, bad, bad. Sends a signal down to that part of the body. Yep. I confirm that whole thing's bad. And it goes round and round and round. And it creates a field and it makes itself bigger. When the truth is, it was just a sensation in the first place. So the whole story goes when the sensation in the body goes. When your body no longer generates that feeling around that subject anymore, the mind actually forgets. We've even had people forget they ever came to see us about a subject. It's bad for business, but it's so complete. Your system just doesn't pay attention to it anymore, which is, it's really a cool thing.
Amazing. This is so exciting. Thank you so much for coming on, Liz. Everybody, CogniteMovement.com, Liz Larson, Bill McKenna, thank you so much. And welcome to the Reality Revolution.
Thanks for allowing me to be on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.